Well, this week, we're actually going to take a little break from finishing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And instead, this morning, we're going to focus on the letter of 1 John, John's first letter. It's found right at the end of the Bible, just before the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. You get the three letters of John, you get Jude, you get Revelation. So if you work your way backwards, you'll find the first letter of John. And one of our elders, George McLean, is going to come up and read to us from 1 John.
1 John chapter 5, let us hear the word of the Lord. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe that God has made him out to be Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is a testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Well, turn with me to the passage that we read together, but keep the book of the letter of 1 John open in front of you. Just over a week ago, I had the privilege of doing a question and answer evening with some of the older teens from around Inverness and the Black Isle and beyond. We had one a few months ago where they threw a lot of the hardest and the best questions that anyone could think of. But last week they asked me to answer the question, how do I know if I'm a Christian? It is a great question. The question of assurance. Can I know with confidence? Can I know that I am a Christian? That I have eternal life? That I am saved? And whenever somebody asks that question, one of the best books of the Bible to read is the first letter of John. It's full of help for discovering whether we can know whether we are saved by Jesus, forgiven and free, heading to heaven. So let the Apostle John guide you this morning into faith in Jesus and into assurance and confidence that you may indeed be saved. Here's the first sign of the letter of 1 John that we're going to look at this morning. First of all, we can know, because we believe in the Son. We read from 1 John 5, verse 11 to 13. Read it again with me if you can. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you may know. John doesn't want people to be doubting and unsure and forever afraid and forever second-guessing. He wants you to have confidence. I've known people who almost feel guilty to have any sense of confidence that they are born again, that they are in Christ, that they are Christians. People who have clearly, in the eyes of many others, clearly they've loved Jesus and walked with Jesus. They have been Christians for a long time, but they'll only go as far as to say, oh, I hope. And I get why people say it, I really do. But listen to the words of John again. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So how do you get the Son? How do you get Jesus Christ? Through believing in the name of the Son of God. I write these things to you, he says, verse 13. To you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have it. You have eternal life. You have the Son of God. You have Jesus by believing in the name of the Son of God. Now that means to trust in Jesus as he is revealed in the Bible. Is that the Jesus you know? Let me put it like this. If your understanding of Jesus, what you think about Jesus, how you think about Christianity and so on and church, if your understanding of Jesus isn't the Jesus revealed in the Bible, then you might have all the faith in the world, but for your faith to save you, it needs to be in something real. You might think, well, I like to think of Jesus as being happy with everyone. Well, where are you getting that from? I like to think of Jesus as just a really wise teacher that we should try and follow. My Jesus would accept this person and accept that. What confidence do you have for thinking any of that? Because that Jesus is an imaginary Jesus. He's not real. what we come up with in our own heads as to what we like to think of Jesus, that's not a real Jesus. We've made him up in our heads. The last words say of this chapter say, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from worshiping fake things that won't save you." And you might fashion something out of wood, and that's what they do in other countries. They make little statues and so on. But you make a statue in your head, you make an idol in your head every time you make up a Jesus that is part of your own thinking. You've just made him up. He's not real. An imaginary Jesus is useless. Now, there are many who might call themselves Christians, but if they deny the revealed biblical testimony of who Jesus is, if they deny he is the Son of God, if they deny that he died on the cross for our sins, then they don't have anything at all. A chair has to be real and actually strong and stable for me to have faith that it will take my weight. That's not just because I'm heavy. My faith, my belief in this chair is of no use unless the chair is real, unless it is strong, unless the thing you have faith in is able to do something. Only then is your faith of any value. It's faith in, belief in the name of the Son of God, the revealed Jesus Christ. If then the Jesus you rely on is the one revealed in the Bible, then not only has he done something, but he's done it all. It is finished. We read that he took on flesh, that he was born into our world, that he walked this earth to live the life that we couldn't. A perfect, sinless life. Fulfilling the law and the requirements of God. Fulfilling the perfect standards of God, which are perfect because they need to be. If God's standards were less than perfect, then there is no hope for heaven. There is no hope for justice and truth. But amazingly, he lived the life we couldn't. And he went to the cross to die the death we deserved. He took the hell we are due. This is evidence of that. This isn't make-believe. This revealed testimony of Jesus Christ, this Bible, this book, this isn't fake. It is historical. It's the prophecy of thousands of years ending up fulfilled in one amazing person. Every book that you read, every film that you watch has inconsistencies and plot holes. And there are websites dedicated to the plot holes of films. Jesus doesn't. There are no plot holes in the story of Jesus. He's real enough, all right. And he is strong enough to take the weight of all your sin. You've got the evidence of his power and his purpose in your hands if you are holding a Bible. In fact, you've even got it all around you, the evidence of his power and his purpose in other Christians who are sitting here today. Because whoever believes in the name of the Son of God has life. And that life will start to show itself in love for this Jesus. That life will start to show itself in fruit, maybe even in the small ways, but inevitably and gradually, you will want to hear more about this Jesus. You will want to read more about him. You will want to go to church to worship him. You maybe even find yourself singing. because that's what happens when you love Jesus Christ. If then this Jesus is the one you rely on, if that is the one you depend on, strip away all your other ideas of yourself. If the Jesus you depend on for salvation is this Jesus, have confidence that you are a Christian. If this isn't the one you depend on, then you don't have any confidence. But if it's him, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says, time and time again. Even if you barely know the Bible, you barely know theology, what a wonderful thing it is to learn more and just study more about God. It's one of the signs that you want to know more about God. But if you simply know enough that Jesus is the Son of God and you call out to him to be saved, then that's enough. You don't need to know how a chair was built, what materials were used. You don't need to know all the ins and outs of the Bible. All you have to do is sit in it. And you know you're not on the floor. All you have to do is believe in the name of the Son of God, the revealed Jesus, this one. And he's real. And he's strong. And you're no longer on the floor. You can know you have eternal life. That's one. That's one sign that John gives us, that we know because we believe in the Son. We don't believe in a fake imaginary Jesus. We don't believe in systems and structures. We believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, no. Have confidence. That's enough. Second, in the book of John, if the first sign of assurance is that you believe in Jesus, the second sign is that you begin to live like him. We know, secondly, because we do what is right. Turn back a page with me to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 6-9. 1 John 3, verse 6. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. When my son Isaac was first born, and he had all these squished baby features, everyone kept looking that he looked like the McSween side. He took after his father, they said. Now that he's growing up into a handsome little boy, everyone's starting to say he looks like the green side, taking after his mother, and I don't know how to take that. But the point is that there is a resemblance between children and parents in earthly families. And so too will there be a resemblance between children and their father in the spiritual family. If God is truly your father in heaven, we will begin to be like him. Now the point that John is making is that we can know, we can have confidence who the children of God are and who aren't. This passage isn't saying that you'll never sin. The words in the Greek are often better translated as continuing to practice sin. It's those who keep on sinning in the habits of sin, who plunge headlong into sin, who don't just stumble like we all do, but habitually keep walking in sin. They don't have confidence. They won't have confidence. And in case this sign that John is giving you makes us despair because of the sin in your life right now, keep in mind that at the beginning of the letter of John, that part of living a righteous life is refusing to claim that you live without sin. And it's to come to Christ for cleansing when you do sin. That's there in 1 John verse 9. Verse 8, 9, and 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Part of living a righteous life is knowing that we still sin, but we keep going to Jesus. So yes, there might be spells where particular temptations and sins almost as if cloud your skies and you lose confidence in yourself whether you're saved. But just like the sun is still there, shining, even when there are clouds blocking your view, God is still there when you have clouded your own confidence and assurance. He's still there. Come back to him and have confidence again. But if you recognize that your life has changed, let's say over these last number of months, looking at the fruit of the Spirit on Sunday mornings, if you can recognize that there has been a change in your life, in your walk, in your moral living, you can know, you can have confidence that you have been born of God. Christians aren't sinless, but they do sin less. And as you start struggling against your own sin and seeing more of your own sin, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. If a tree is alive, it will bear fruit over time. And John makes this point of confidence even clearer at the end of chapter 3 and in verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. This is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. See evidence. If there is evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you see love and joy and patience and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, even little by little, take heart. John wants you to have confidence. He wants you to know. This is how we know that he lives in us, by the Spirit he gave us. It changes you and we begin to do what is right. But thirdly and finally, John wants us to know because we love each other. It's there in chapter 3, verse 14. Those famous words, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. And if you begin to have a love for other Christians, a desire to be around Christians, and not just to have friends that happen to be Christians, but friends because they love Jesus too, then this is another mark of assurance. It's a token that God gives you to let you know that you have changed. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be friends with all of you. Not because I don't like you, but we would never even have met. I wouldn't know 98% of you. We may have very little or pretty much nothing in common. But if we have Jesus in common, we have something to share. It's as if the Spirit of God in me recognizes the Spirit of God in you. And we have this instinctive love for one another, regardless of any other shared interests and hobbies and whatever. Those things are added bonuses, and they can make friendships very rich, having those added friendships. But you and I might be polar opposites. But you may be my brother and my sister, and I instinctively care for you. I can't not care for you. I might barely know you, but instinctively, we love each other. Even if you find somebody else's current personality annoying, it's almost as if you begrudgingly love them because you know they are a child of God growing over time. You might want to let them go. You might want to throw them away. They've annoyed you. They've let you down so much. And yet, if you recognize this is a child of God, it's like a boomerang that comes back. You can't throw that person away. Even if you have to keep a healthy distance for whatever reason it might be, even if we have to discipline and excommunicate someone for serious, grieving sin, still our heart prays and loves and seeks to restore. You'll still have friends because you'll have people that you love because you share something else. You know, we share blood, we share memories, you share a hobby, you share a job, you share a postcode. These are the normal ways that people make friends. They share something, whatever. But if you feel drawn to someone, to another believer, who maybe even comes from the other side of the world, and they don't even share your language or your culture or your sense of humor, and yet you love them, yet you care for them, that's a sign. We know we have passed from death to life because we love each other. That's a sign. So these are John's three signposts to assure us that we are on the road leading to eternal life. These are not three things that we do to earn salvation, but three indicators that God has already saved us. We believe. Can you say these things with me? I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I may not know everything. I may know very little. But I believe in the name of the Son of God. I believe in the Jesus shown to me and revealed to me and shared with me from the Bible. This real, historical, strong, powerful, mighty Jesus. I believe in him. If you can say, I have begun to change. What I used to love, I no longer love. What I used to do, I recognize I no longer have the same appetite for. And I want to grow in love and joy and peace and patience. And you see yourself changing. little by little, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, but little by little. And can you say, I love being with God's people. I love the people of God. Let me put it another way. We know. We can know we have eternal life if we love Jesus, love his commands, and love his people. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? This Jesus, the real Jesus. Do you love his commands, shaping you and guiding you to do what is right, to live in a way that pleases him? Do you love his people? Here you have three signs, a theological one, that you know and love Jesus, the Jesus revealed in the Bible. Learn more about him. Here is a moral one, that your life begins to change. And here is a social one, that you begin to love his people. Three signs. If you don't have them, you really need to grapple this morning with what that means for you and where you stand before God. If you don't have those three signs, can you have confidence, regardless of what you say? Can you call yourself a Christian? If you recognize that you are lacking, then come to him. Believe in him. Rely on him. Sit down in the chair, and he will save you. He will change your life and your walk. He will change your heart and your loves. And have confidence. Next Sunday morning, we have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper again, taking the bread and the wine as a symbol of your reliance on the death of Jesus to pay for our sins and to sustain us day by day for as long as we shall live. Who should be there? Who should be taking communion with God, communion with one another? Some of you just don't have confidence, it seems. But do you believe in Jesus? Do you love him? Is he the one you rely on? Do you love his commands? And do you see the changes bit by bit, little by little in your life? Do you love his people? If so, you should be there, remembering the Lord's death until he comes, obeying his command. Forget the baggage and the voices of your past. Forget your own lack of confidence. Take your eyes off yourself and look at Jesus and listen to John. He tells you these things so that you can know. You can know that you have passed from death to life. And so if you have that life, celebrate that together with God's people. Even in the next week, come and talk to me. Get in touch with your elders. Get in touch with someone. If you want to take that step, especially if you'd like to do it before next Sunday. But most of all, hold your confidence in Jesus. He's done it all. But also realize he gives you tokens of confidence and assurance. In the past, in Scotland, you know, every country you go to, there are quirks of how church is done. Just as people develop, as history develops, and circumstances go up and down in history, quirks of how every church does church appear. And one of the quirks in Scotland was that you used to get a little metal token that you would need to get from your elder or from an elder from your home congregation to let you go and take the Lord's Supper, take communion in any church. And you would have to hand that in on a Sunday morning as you walked forward and took your seat with God's people. You had this literal token. There was a time and a place. There was a wisdom for that in its own time. A quirk of Scotland. Here is the even more important token as to why you should be remembering the Lord's death and taking communion with Jesus and with his people. Do you love him? Has your life begun to change? Do you love his people? Do you love Jesus? Do you love his commands? Do you love his people? Take those tokens and profess, even for the first time, Jesus is my Savior. And if this morning you realize that you don't have those three tokens, well, that's actually a good thing to realize. Especially if you called yourself a Christian. It's not too late to trust in Jesus and know he is yours, and to know heaven is yours, eternal life is yours. Now is the time for any of you to put your destiny in the hands of the real Jesus and let him change your life and let him change your heart, and you will know you have been born again as a child of our Father in heaven.